Hallelujah. Amen. Over in Gospel of John chapter 15. And as you're turning there, let's go ahead and pray and commit this time to God. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God that's inspired from heaven. That, Lord, as these men wrote down these verses and chapters and books, they were inspired by you to do so. So, Father, we thank you that we're reading inspired information this morning. This is not just like any other book that's out there. This is inspired utterance from heaven as we read your scriptures. So, Lord, I'm asking you right now to give us an open eye today. Open our eyes of our understanding. Open our ears to hear wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name, we bind all the powers of darkness that would try to hinder and thwart and distract us today. We break your power, Satan. You have no place in this place, in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. John chapter 15, and we've been talking for the last 2 weeks, this is our third session, about abiding in Jesus. In John 15, verse 1, it says this: I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Verse 3. All right, now verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus said, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, notice this, much fruit. Now here's the catchphrase here. He says, for without me, what's it say? You can do nothing. All right. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide, verse 6, abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, withered, men gather them, cast them into the fire, and there they are burned. But if you abide in me, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And then lastly, verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now notice that there's a connection between verse 8, between bearing much fruit and also being Jesus' disciples. Okay? What is a disciple anyway? Let's talk about that for a minute, because a disciple is, it sounds like where we get our English word discipline. How many of you love discipline? One person. All right. Okay. But, I want to bring it up a little bit, Josh. Disciple means a disciplined follower and adherer to the principles of the Word of God. Amen? And Jesus said, go into all the world and make what? Disciples. Hallelujah. See, there's a difference between being a Christian and being a disciple. Now, of course, to be a disciple, you have to first of all be a Christian. That goes without argument. You know what I'm saying? That's just the start. When you become a Christian, your sins are forgiven, you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. Amen? But from there on, there's a process about becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a process that doesn't happen overnight. All right? Now, the good thing about being a disciple is there's so many benefits to becoming a disciple, because it says they will bear much fruit. Now, we began to talk in the last few weeks about, and again, the title of this series is Abiding in Jesus, Abiding in Christ. And it's so important that we understand the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of things out there to try to distract us. How many of you know that? Seems like everybody that shared today had some kind of a distraction. It's been a rough week or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Hey, welcome to the club, right? But let me tell you something. The greater one lives on the inside of us. That's the truth. And the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And I tell you, when you feel the most oppressed is really when you need to speak up the loudest and say, oh, no, you don't, devil. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, when I was sitting right here just a few minutes ago, and it says this, I'm not sure which chapter it's in, but it's in Ecclesiastes, and it says, surely oppression will make a wise man mad. surely oppression will make a wise man ticked off. So when the devil tries to bring oppression at you, you know, how do we respond to that? Now, years ago, I used to give in to it. Have a pity party. Am I the only one? Yeah. I know me better than anybody else, you know. But then I got wiser. Why? Because I got some scripture. I got some scripture on the fact that, you know, if the very fact that the devil's even messing with you means that you're a threat to him. Amen. And that's a good thing. Someone says, well, the devil never bothers me. Then you're not a threat to him. You're in league with him. Are you with me now? So the enemy will try to throw things at us, circumstances, things like that, to try to get us distracted, to God, to try to get our minds off of the goal, off of the real reason that why we're here. Amen. Now, we saw in this chapter right here that Jesus said in verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be granted to you. That's pretty awesome. We brought out the fact that, number one, to abide in Jesus means to receive him. In other words, to be born again. Okay? John 3:3 said, Jesus said, except you be a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he told that to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was thinking naturally. He says, well, how in the world am I, a grown man, going to go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? Well, Jesus wasn't talking about a natural birth. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. All right? And he went on to talk about the wind and so forth, you know, as an illustration of the Holy Spirit. You can't see the wind, but you can certainly feel its effects. Okay? So to abide in Christ, number one, you have to be born again. If you abide in me, that's being born again. And number two is, my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah. So this is really simple. I mean, this is like 2 + 2 = 4, right? So you're born again. That's the first qualification. But number two, letting the word of Christ dwell in you. Doesn't Colossians say, let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly, in all wisdom. Glory to God. There's a story way back, you know, about a guy that had a lot of knowledge but no wisdom. It's a true story. And a guy just got saved. He was a country boy. He got saved. And he had a shotgun. He would go out and shoot rabbits for dinner. And so he's all on fire for God. Really excited about Jesus. He's walking down the side of the railroad tracks, and there's some kids that met him, and he had a shotgun on his back. He's shooting rabbits, you know. And as soon as he saw these kids there, a couple of kids that were there, he said, hey, you guys ready to meet Jesus? And they took off running. Get what I'm talking about? Didn't use wisdom. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom is nothing more than the application of knowledge. Do you know knowledge is input of the word? Knowledge, input. But wisdom is output, application of the knowledge of God. How many of you know the devil knows a lot of scripture? He quotes scripture. But he sure isn't wise. I mean, listen, anybody that thinks he's going to overtake the throne of God has got to be brainless. See, why was the devil kicked out of heaven? Why is there no mercy for demons and devils and evil spirits? Because they had no one tempting them. The devil didn't. He didn't have anybody tempting him. He knew exactly what he was doing. There's no redemption for the devil. He was totally open, and he knew exactly what he was doing, and he perverted. The Bible says God didn't create him the way that he was. He was Lucifer, son of the morning. Okay? And from all indication, he was a worship leader in heaven because of his vocal cords, and God created his pipes, it says, you know what I mean? He had a built-in pipe organ or something on the inside. But he corrupted his beauty. And in Ezekiel and Isaiah, the Bible says that there's 5 I wills in Isaiah. The devil said this. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will, I will, I will. 5 times he says, I will. That's the devil. And Jesus said in the gospel, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.
Praise God.
Why did he fall? God kicked them out. Amen? Because the devil said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. No, folks, he was already close to God. He was right there. But he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be better than God himself. Angels, did you know angels are created beings? Now, God's not. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're not created beings. They've always been here. There was never a beginning. There's never an end. Now, don't try to figure that out with your brain, because you won't. We don't understand that side of eternity, but someday we will. But angels, the Bible says, were created. They were created beings. And there were three archangels, chief angels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And each one of those angels had one-third of the angels underneath them. That's why when Satan fell from heaven, he took one-third of the angels with him. Okay? Because that was who he was over. And he corrupted them and as well, the people, the angels that were underneath them. And so, where am I going with this? I don't know. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. The devil, that's what I was talking about. Satan was not wise to think he's going to overthrow the throne of God. You've got to be kidding me, you know. And so Jesus put him in his right, God put him in his rightful place and said, get out of here. Bam, and he hit the earth, okay. And that's when he became the devil. But see, he was not created that way originally. See, God never creates something evil. All right? But the angel, Lucifer, made a bad choice in full knowledge. He was not deceived. Now, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were deceived. So, therefore, God provided a redeemer for them. Thank God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if we let God's word abide in us, we got to be born again first. That's being abiding in Christ and then letting his word abide in us. Then it's going to be a lot easier to get results when we pray. A lot easier. See, a lot of Christians try to pray. A lot of people pray in the dark. And by that, I mean not literally like in a dark room. But what I'm saying, when you don't have the word, then you don't have light. Okay? When you have the word, the Bible says the entrance of his word gives what? Light. It says that. So when you have spiritual light and you have the word of God, you have light. It's not physical, it's spiritual, then you know certain things so that when you pray, you don't have to pray in the dark. Okay? For example, in the area of divine health and healing, the Bible has much to say about divine healing and health, and we believe that according to the Scriptures, the Word of God. But I have found that if people have a reservoir of Scriptures, and, you know, and by the way, Scriptures are God-breathed, so that means they're not man-inspired. They're God-inspired. And when people have a revelation of the Scriptures being God-breathed and they look at these verses of Scripture, every Scripture that you look at in the area of divine healing or divine health brings more light. Brings more light. It's one of the reasons that we have healing school in this church, amen? To shed light on any dark areas in our understanding so that we can eradicate unbelief in that particular area. Every single one of you here in this room have a name, okay? And that name was given to you at birth, whether you like it or not. And you respond to that name. You have full conviction and full confidence that when your name is called out in a crowd of people, even in this room, your head's turning, okay? Why? Because your mind has been so programmed, that's my name, I respond to that. Even if there's two Bob's in this room. If I yell at Bob, both Bob's heads are going to turn. Or Sam or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need to have the same confidence that when the Scripture is being spoken, that is talking about us. That's talking about me. Amen? Now, Jesus begins to talk in these verses of Scripture here about, you know, bearing much fruit in verse 8. You know, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. We talked about how that Jesus' dependency, and I looked at, just write this down, we're not going to turn to these this morning, but in John 5:19, John 5:19, and then John 5:30, and John 8:28. That's John 5:19, 5:30, and then 5 or 8:28. Jesus, and we took 2 weeks to look at these, but we saw that Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself, but what I see the Father do, I'm going to do that." He says, "I don't do or say anything unless I hear the Father say it first. Then I act on that knowledge." Okay? Now, it's so important that we understand as believers. How many of you want to become disciples, not just believers? All right. That Jesus was showing us how to function in this earth. He was not exclusively saying, "Look, this is I'm the Son of God. This is how I function. This is how I operate." He was actually showing you and I how we can function and how we can operate and should operate in the earth. Amen. Now, I don't believe that Jesus necessarily saw the Father, but there was impressions, there were things that were revealed to him when he would pray. Someone said it seemed that Jesus went from from one prayer meeting to the next prayer meeting and did miracles in between. Jesus was connected to the vine. He was connected to him. And folks, listen, when we become more connected to Christ, the less squirrely will we become. Yeah. Amen? Did you ever hear the term granola Christians? Nuts, fruits, and flakes? Hey, well, that's all my relatives, you know. It's amazing. This is just another side issue, but you know, it's amazing what some people call spirituality when it's not spirituality at all. You know, just because someone says glory to God, praise God, doesn't mean they're a spiritual person. That doesn't mean anything. The devil can say that. Okay. What constitutes spirituality? When you're like Jesus, when you walk in the love of God. You walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness. Find in Galatians chapter 5. All these nine, there's nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. And all those nine fruits of the Spirit are deposited in you and I when you become a child of God. Okay? Now, as a pastor, part of my job is to instruct, not just the only part, but part of my job is to instruct you with information, understanding, revelation that will help you. Not always up here jumping through the hoop trying to perform. That's not what it's about. It's giving you information, inspiration that will help you walk this out in your life, your daily walk. Are you with me? So Jesus was showing us how to function and how to operate. And that's why that book is so important that I just mentioned about how to be led by the Spirit of God, because it teaches us how to be led. We think that, you know, you read the book of Acts, for example, and you think Peter had an angel appear to him every morning. Get up for breakfast, there's an angel giving him instruction. But this only happened like once or twice in their entire lifetime. Okay? As a matter of fact, I would rather not have it where God would send me an angel, because we have to be pretty dense spiritually in order for God to have to send us an angel, open vision, that type of a thing. Amen? And most of the time when God would show someone supernaturally, when God moves more in a spectacular way, that means there's rough sailing ahead. When Paul was on board that ship, you know, going to Rome, and remember, he warned them, he says, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much damage and hurt. Not only for our lives, but for the cargo that's on the ship." Remember that? And they didn't pay any attention to him because it was a beautiful sunny day. Remember that? He was taken prisoner. And he said, "Sirs, I perceive." Say, "I perceive."
"I perceive."
He didn't have an angel appear to him right there. He says, "I perceive." So God will give us spiritual perceptions sometimes. Not the gift of suspicion. Okay. That I'm talking about... a perception. Hold on, buddy. The weather was perfect. They took off, you know, and of course, back in those days, they didn't have all the radar and things that we have today that we can look on our little phones and see there's a storm coming, you know. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff. But the Holy Ghost is like that. And he said, "Sirs, I perceive." Now they thought that Paul was trying to delay the process. You know, I don't want to go to Rome, so I'm going to make up some story. And it says that what Paul said almost seemed like fairy tales to them. But what happened? They got out there in the middle of the sea, and here comes a big old hurricane. I think they called it Electron Don or something like that. There was a name for it, just like they do today.
Yeah.
You can see the weather people on their channel, you know, talking about it, you know, and guy out there standing on the shore, you know. No, they didn't do that back then. But they got out there, and I'm telling you, it got really bad. They got caught in the middle of that thing and just kept going around and around and around that storm. They just got caught in the middle of it, and it just took them and took them to the point where they were about to die. And Paul stood up and said, "I told you, you should have listened to me." Now they're getting a little bit more desperate. And so they start throwing the cargo over the ship so they can make the ship lighter so that they can at least try to, you know, somehow get safe. And, you know, they hadn't eaten in days. But Paul was on that ship. And now God told Paul, he says, "You're going to go to Rome and you are going to share the message with the people in authority in Rome." He had a word. God told him that. So when he was out in the midst of that hurricane, when everybody else was thinking any minute we could perish, any minute we could die, Paul knew that he had a mission. And because his eyes were on the mission, he did not let fear in. The other guys thought they were going to die. Well, it just so happened that one of the knights, there stood by Paul an angel of the Lord, he says, "Whose I am and whom I serve," and said, "Paul, fear not," and tell the people, "Fear not." He says, "If the people stay on board, they'll all be safe." There's another message in that. Amen? If they try to jump ship and try to get to land, you know, they're going to perish. He said, but they have to stay on ship. And not one of those people perished. And they made it to the island of Malta. You remember that? Now, what happens when they get on the land of Malta? Sometimes we think we've had a rough day, stuck in traffic. They hadn't eaten in days. This was a forced fast, okay? I mean, it's not like they chose to do this. There was nothing to eat. I mean, they're in the middle of this storm. They're about to die, you know? Rapid weight loss, you know? And so the ship runs into a sandbar, you know, and so they all jump off, and there's an island right there, and there's people that were of this island. They ran out to meet them, you know, and so they finally made it, all right? Now, remember, God told him, he said, "You're going to go, and you're going to minister in Rome." Amen? Well, if that's not bad enough, Paul gets off the ship, and so they're cold from the weather and all that and so forth. And Paul is gathering sticks to make a fire so they could keep warm. And as he's pulling sticks out, there came a viperous snake. They call it the two-step snake. That means you're bit, two steps, you're gone. You're dead, you know. Now, the people of the island knew about those snakes. Think over in Africa, they have the black mambas and the green mambas. I mean, that's those kind of snakes. I mean, you get bit by one of those in the natural, you're going to be seeing Jesus if you're a Christian. Amen? Well, the Bible says Paul just shook the snake off. It bit him. It was hanging. It was on him. Now, remember, when I was a kid, you know, I was in this friend's garden of mine, you know, and it was this nice big garden right by our house, you know. And we went back there, and there was all these snakes back there, and they intrigued me. Now, I didn't know that they were garden snakes, you know, but they were, you know, that long, that thick, you know. So I decided to pick one up by the tail. Not a good move. I picked that thing up by the tail. It curled around and stuck on me, and his teeth went in me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to die. You know, I didn't know it was a garden snake, you know. Thank God it was, you know. But in this case, this was not a little typical garden snake, you know, harmless little snake here. This was a poisonous viper. And that thing fastened itself on Paul, and the people were watching this happen. They were right there from that island. Well, what did Paul do? The Bible says he shook it off. He shook it off, and he just kept working. And the people were like, "Wait a minute. 5 minutes have gone by. He's still normal. He didn't kick over. Rigor mortis didn't set in. He's still operating at full strength. And so what happened was they thought he was a god. They thought, there's no way that this can happen unless he's a god. But see, here's the thing. Paul was on a mission. Paul, God told him, you're going to go to Rome. So the shipwreck didn't destroy them. The snake bite didn't kill them. Why? His mind is on the mission. What he's been sent to do. Let me tell you something. When you obey God and you do what he's telling you to do, I don't care what kind of thing comes against you, nothing can stop it. I don't care what kind of demons and devils will try to raid itself against you, no matter how disappointment, how people have treated you, they cannot stop you. Amen. When I go through rough times, you know what I do? I look at what am I called to do? Okay? Oh, it's different for all of us. You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is we keep our eyes on the goal. We keep our eyes on what God's told us to do. No matter what circumstance can come your way, it's not going to have, the venom didn't have power over Paul. Now, for the most part, that would kill people instantly. And so as a result of that miracle that took place, they started bringing all the people from the island, and a guy named Publius, you know, he had a bloody flux, whatever that means. Doesn't sound real good. That's what the King James says, you know. And so they brought the people to the island, and Paul had a healing service as a result of this. Healing and revival broke out right there on the island, okay? Paul's the only one that could be, you know, shipwrecked, snake bitten, beaten by rods, and still stand up the same day and said, I'm more than a conqueror through him that called me. And we get whipped when the red light stays too long. Circumstances don't work out exactly, you know what I mean? But listen, when we have a revelation of how big God is, and nothing can stop us from doing what God's told us to do. Listen, it's not worth letting anything, circumstance, stop you from the dream and the vision that God places on the inside of your heart. Circumstances, people at times will try to stop that, but you have to just rise up and say, no, I'm not going to become bitter, I'm going to become better. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going all over the place here today, that's all right, hallelujah. Jesus' dependency was on the Father, and our dependency must be on the Father. How do we do that? When we pray, we believe, we hear what the Good Shepherd is telling us. Amen? Now, if you really feel, you know, if you feel that God is really talking to you about doing something, and you really feel like it's good, the Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. If the Holy Ghost is telling you to do something, find you some people that you know that are more spiritual than you are. I mean in a good way. And you bounce that vision off of them. And you talk to them. And you say, does this bear witness with you? Okay? If I'm about to make a big decision, there's something that's going to involve, you know, whether it be a lot of resources or whatever, you know, spiritual, financial, whatever, I'm going to be talking to some of my peers and friends and ministers. And I'm going to bounce some things off them. I'm going to have them pray with me. I'm going to make sure it sits right with them. And if it doesn't, then I back off. I back off and I wait. Instead of running full steam ahead thinking that I heard from God when in fact I didn't. Anybody ever done that before? Am I the only one? So it's so important that that when we hear from heaven out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Okay? And this keeps us safe. This keeps us in a position, not only that, but it keeps us in a humble position. Okay? Because when we're humble, that means that we can hear what some other people, now it has to be the right people, you understand that. Not everybody out there you're supposed to share your vision with and talk with. You understand that? Because they ain't going to understand. And some people, they want to be better than you are anyway. They want to rub it in your face anyway. There are people that are like that. Paul was in prison. He said, there's other believers here. They're preaching Christ out of the wrong motive. In prison. Amen. He said, but others out of a pure heart. But the main thing is the gospel's being preached. But you know what? If we're moving forward in our lives, there'll be other people that we can bounce things off of. And we can pray with those people, and we can get the wisdom of God so that we can move forward with confidence. Amen? I'm totally confident about what I've been called to do. 100%. You couldn't beat it out of me with a baseball bat. Amen? And it doesn't matter what circumstances have come up. It doesn't matter what has happened or this has happened or in the future. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is this. What did God tell us to do? And we're going a little bit deeper here this morning, aren't we? But I believe you can handle this today. Praise God. Jesus was dependent upon the Father. And when we get before and we posture ourselves in prayer and we say, Father, I need wisdom for the situation. He will speak to you. He will put impressions inside your heart. He will give you direction. He will give you wisdom. Okay? How do you know if something's God or not when it really comes to it? I heard this from somebody in the South. I guess they use these terminologies. They said, you know, it's kind of like this. If God's in something, it'll stick with you, like those ribs. You know, and I get that. So if you get a fleeting something that comes to you like a decision, you're like, oh, I'm going to just jump at that. No, if it's God today, it'll be God next week. Amen. If it's God next week, it'll be God a month from then. I've had things come to me, and I'm telling you, I thought it was God. I thought it was God. Honestly, and it was a good thing. Something came to me. I was like really excited about it. I was like, wow, glory to God. But you know what? I put it on a shelf. I set it up there, not literally, but spiritually. I put it on a shelf, and I walked away from it, and I said, all right, Lord, that looks good. That sounds good. That seems like you. But I'm going to just put it up there, and I'm going to wait, and I'm going to come back a week from now, 2 weeks from now. And if it's still there, and it's still strong there, then I'll move forward with it. I remember one time I thought it was God and there was something up there, the decision. So I put it up there and I was so excited about it. I went back 3 or 4 days from then and just revisited that thing. I said, okay, Lord. And there was nothing there. There was nothing. You know what I did? Just move on. Forget it. Are you with me? And this would even be in the area of prophecy as well. See, prophecy, the Bible says the simple gift of prophecy is speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And the simple form of prophecy is going to have those three elements in it. Speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? Brother Dan had a prophecy last week. He did that very thing at the end of the service. It blessed, it edified. Amen? That's the simple gift of prophecy. Now, where people miss it sometimes is that they let prophecy guide them. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, because someone had a word and somebody spoke. You know, that's a really dangerous place to be in, folks. Yes. Prophecy was never given to guide you. It was only given to confirm what God has already spoke to you about. Okay? I made mention of the fact some time ago, maybe you heard this, maybe you didn't, but I remember back when I got saved and got in a church, and I was just brand new at these things, and I was in a good church like this one, a smaller church, and there was an older couple that was there in the church, and this guy had went to a meeting somewhere in Pittsburgh. Someone prophesied over him that he was going to be a missionary in China. He said, thus saith the Lord. You're going to be a missionary in China, everything. He was all excited about this, you know. And but here's the problem. He came back to the church. He announced to everybody in the church, I'm going to China. Now, he's got two little babies, brand new babies. And he's got a wife, of course. And so he starts making preparation. Now, the problem with this is that God never spoke that to him in the beginning to do that. Someone supposedly prophesied over him that he was to leave his job, quit his job, take his family, move to China to be missionaries. But here's the thing. Nobody could tell him anything else. He was unteachable. Yeah. didn't want to hear it. But he said, someone had a prophecy over me. Amen? Now, the Bible says that we are to judge prophecy. And just because someone says, thus saith the Lord, you know, you better judge that thing. You better make sure. Is this the Holy Ghost talking, or is that just Brother Joe? Are you with me? So, and the sad part is, and I watched this, and other people watched this, he sold his house, lost. He went and moved to China. Everything fell through. He went over there, and the bottom fell out. He got all discouraged and just depressed, came back, divorced his wife, lost his family, lost everything that he had. Because he already lost his job here. He quit it, you see. All because someone said, thus saith the Lord over him. Now, here's the other flip side of that. If God was already talking to him inside of his heart and putting impressions in him about going to China, then the Holy Spirit would have confirmed that. But in this case, he was being completely led by prophecy rather than letting the Holy Spirit talk to him. Now, I remember back in the day when I was wrestling with God, you know, calling me into the ministry, and I, you know my testimony if you've been around it. I really had a hard time thinking that God would even call me into the ministry because I couldn't even do speech class in high school, junior high school. I failed it. Not proud of it, but that's just the way it was. I couldn't talk in front of people. I was just a nervous, somewhere going to happen. But here God starts talking to me as a young 19-year-old, 18-year-old teenager, 19, 20 years old, and I couldn't get away from it. I felt like this urgency, like God was calling me into the ministry. Well, my hesitation was, I thought, was valid because I thought, I cannot speak. Now, you know, if you look at characters in the Bible, you'll find they said the same. Moses said the same thing. I can't speak. Right? But the Bible does say God calls the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen? I qualify. And so I asked the Lord because I just couldn't get away from it. It was day and night, you know. And I'm telling you, after high school, I went from job to job to job to job. Had decent jobs, but I was just unsatisfied. Just wasn't happy. Because there's something scratching me down in here that God wanted me to go get some training in the ministry. And I just, I mean, it was like I couldn't get away from it. No, nothing audible, nothing visible, no angels appeared to me. I just couldn't get away from it on the inside of me. So I said, Lord, I said, if this is you talking to me, I want you to confirm this to me. You know, because I understood that much. Well, right about that time, I was invited to go to a guy that was preaching at a church called Feed My Sheep that used to be in Cannonsburg. Patty knows about that. And used to be there. I don't think it's there anymore. It was just a real small church in an upper room of this. I don't know how in the world they crammed so many people in a room about half their size. But it was absolutely packed. There was a gentleman there, a minister by the name of Bob Buse. And he was from Humble, Texas. Yeah. Now, if you're from Texas, you leave the H off. It's Humble. I don't get it. And he was ministering. Somebody invited me and my friend to go, you know, and we got there late, actually. And there were two seats on the second row. So the ushers that were there, they took us up there, you know, and the service had already started, you know, it was towards the end of worship, you know. And this big old Texan with cowboy boots on and real tall guy was ministering. And at the end of the worship service, he started calling out these healings that were taking place. And I mean, I had never seen anything like this in my entire life. I'm talking signs and wonders, you know, where people's teeth were being healed and people were just shouting out, I can see, I can hear, just miracles that were taking place. I mean, and it wasn't like a put-on. You know, you wonder sometimes, you know, people come up, you know, and their leg hasn't worked in 35 years. And they're supposedly healed. And they're given the microphone. Well, I couldn't walk for 35 years, but praise God, I'm healed today. You know, folks, if you can't walk for 35 years, I would think that there'd be a little more expression in that. Just a thought. Just like the guy at the gate, remember, he was healed, and he said he walked and he leaped.
Yeah.
And he praised God. I mean, he got so excited because he never walked. And he's running through the temple. And it grabbed everybody's attention. All right? And so this kind of stuff was going on inside this meeting right here. And I just had this sensation, I guess you could call it, inside me that he was going to say something to me. So he, you know, that was done. And then he started ministering the word of God. It was just a powerful thing. And now remember, I had asked the Lord. I said, "No, Lord, if you're speaking to me, confirm this in my heart." All right? At the end of the service, I'm sitting there on the second row looking up at him. And he looks down at me. It looked like he was about 12 foot tall. He looks down at me and he says, "Young man," he said, "the Lord has a word for you." And I was the first person he called out after that, after he ministered, you know, and then there was other people. But he looked, pointed his finger down at me. He said, "The Lord has a word for you. He has called you into the ministry. And he's telling you to go get some training." And he says, "And not only that, you're going to meet the desire of your heart really soon," which was my wife. Okay? And I've got, just saying that, just chills just ran up inside my back and my spine, because he literally said that by the Holy Ghost. I left, my friend was with me, my best friend that I was able to lead to the Lord. We left that night and we drove off. I'm telling you, I got my answer. And I'll tell you, I never doubted it from that point forward. I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And it was just a few months later, I met this lovely woman right here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But see, when that guy said that to me, that wasn't the first time I heard that. I didn't say, "Oh, ministry? Oh, no." I know I've shared this here before, but sometimes the Lord will bring you back to share something, the same thing again. But see, the simple gift of prophecy will only confirm what's already on the inside of your heart. There have been times I've been in services. I remember when I was in, the first time this happened, I was in Tulsa. I was in Bob Yandian's church, big, big church, massive church. And probably 3,000 or 4,000 people there, actually. And I'm up in the balcony. I'm sitting up there. And it was towards the end of worship. It was one of those services where the worship was just building and building in it. But you could just feel the presence of God in that service. And I started having some words come to me, you know. And I'm not going to speak out in an auditorium of 4,000 people. They don't know who I am anyway. You know what I mean? They got their ways of doing things. But I had some certain words that were coming to me. And then the pastor got up and gave a prophecy at that same moment. And it was almost verbatim exactly the same thing that God was already placing inside my heart. But when he spoke that out, that made me think, "Lord, that was you. That was you." Because I was trying to test this out. You know, I want to make sure this isn't just me here. You know, I want to test this thing out. Make sure this is the Spirit of God talking here. Are you with me? Now, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. We've just... Amen? I used to say, "Well, that this isn't my message." Well, if God says it, that is the message today. Amen? Are you with me now? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. That's one of his jobs. He will show you things to come. And not everything about the future he will show you, because then you wouldn't have to walk by faith, you'd walk by sight. But there are certain things that he will show you about concerning the future in order to prepare you for that. Okay? Hallelujah. There are those of us that are in this room right now that God has said some things to you way back. And you thought, "How could that ever come to pass? So much time has lapsed. So much water has gone under the bridge, so to speak." And it almost seems as if the vision is completely like it'll never come to pass. But know this, the one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Amen. Though that may seem like a long time for you, though that may seem like a eternity for you, it's really just a blink of an eye. It's a blink of an eye. And if God spoke something to you and God revealed something to you, you hang on to that thing. Okay? You let the Holy Spirit revive that vision that's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Malakete Yesusoka Mahaya. Kyoko no la liik de Malakaya. Sakridia tes de Taitakasuku. We shakenamosusiaka. We thank you, Lord. Marasukoba. 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 Maratanishi. Sarndranofamana. Sakridia kedishishishishoko soka. Shando kopa poko koko koko sakapa. Sone, 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 sone. Jean mo korabaka la sasia la kakasa. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Spirit of the Lord is already talking to a lot of folks that are in here. He's already speaking to you, revealing Himself to you. And you're going to see, you're going to start seeing joy. There are some people in here that God spoke to you, but something happened, and there was major discouragement to try to hinder you. So the devil used some person, might even have been a Christian, that caused you much heartache. And just almost, you know, you almost became shipwrecked, as they say, spiritually. Like, my goodness, how could they do that? What did they do? But the Lord is removing that sting, and the Lord is removing that pain. And though they might have been just an instrument of the enemy for that season, it'll no longer hold sway over you. For the Spirit of God is breathing fresh breath on you from heaven, breathing on you and bringing to pass and resurrecting those things and that fire that's on the inside of you. So just receive that today. Receive that today. There's no person, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no organization that can hold you back if you don't allow it to. Just do not allow things and people and circumstances to bring that discouragement. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Breathe on those here, Father, right now. Fresh breath of heaven. Saturate us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, just as in an attitude of prayer, just every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's someone that's hindered you in your life and someone did something that was very hurtful to you, and probably most of us could raise our hand with that one. But if there's been someone that comes to your face, before your face, that really did hurt you, you just commit that to the Lord right now. Because I'll tell you, the vision that God has for you is so much bigger than some person or some man, some woman that would try to hinder you or hold you back. Just let them go. Just release them. Say, Lord, I forgive them. I let them go. They know not what they do. I release them now in Jesus' name. And you'll find that as you do that, I'm telling you, it'll be a major leap forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It'll be as though, you know, you drove with your emergency brake on and you wonder why you're being held back. But when you release that person, you let that thing just propels you forward. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Something might have happened 35, 25, 20 years ago, something then. Oh, no longer. No longer is that going to hold you back now. Bless the Lord. Lynn, do you have something from the Lord? Okay. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I think it's important that we have services sometimes like, I didn't know it was going to go this direction today. I really didn't know. But where God starts talking to our hearts, He starts dealing with us. You know what I mean? But I receive what He's saying to us today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We receive from you. We receive from you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, man, nothing. That thing that tried to dog you is no longer going to dog you anymore. That thing that tried to hold you back is no longer going to hold you back anymore. And listen, those words that were spoken over you, they're null and they're void. You hear me? They fall to the ground. They mean nothing. Negative words that were spoken over you, you are free from that today. You are free from that today. It might have come through a parent, a sister, a brother. You're free from that. You're free from that. And God is putting His word on the inside of you today. You're a free man. You're a free woman. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see you being breaking free today. Just breaking free. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. You're free. You're free. You're free in Jesus' name today. Thank you, Lord. Labels. People put labels on people. Let God label you. And I'll tell you one thing. He doesn't label you a failure. He doesn't label you a misfit. He doesn't label you but a success, because that's who He sees you are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Bless you, Lord. You got something?
The Lord just wants me to share something real quick. It's not going to take much time up, but I think it was yesterday, the Lord just spoke to me. It was just out of the clear blue sky. He goes, don't try to change you. Let the Word change you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we try to do it in our own strength and try to work it out, work our finances out, you know, work our mentality out. But if we actually let the Word do all the work for us and the labor,
yes,
we don't have to labor. The only thing we got to labor do is to enter into the rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's just so amazing, because, like, you don't have to try to do anything, you know?
Glory to God.
You don't have to try to make your finances prosper. You don't have to try to get healed. The Word will heal you.
Yes.
The Word, this is good stuff. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
The Word's going to do it all for you. Yep. Because sometimes, anytime you get frustrated, it's because, remember what my dad shared, it's because you're trying to do it in your own strength.